Greetings, friends. This is Ali Silva.
And I'm James Reeser.
We can't tell you how excited we are for our next series of podcast episodes.
4 weekly installments of thrills, laughs,
and music. Our most recent live taping at the Slipper Room in Manhattan, An Ear for Music, was a fun evening of original tales and sketches with a musical theme. It was definitely among our favorites this season.
From that live taping, we captured 4 terrific new plays and other wonderful surprises. We had an absolute blast performing it for our live audience, and I can't wait to share it with you, our podcast listening audience.
Here's the thing, I was just talking on the phone earlier with Fireside's head writer and researcher and all-around collector of creepy, Silben Sandovar, and he was lamenting a bit.
Lamenting? What about? I thought it was a great show.
No, Silben was very pleased with how it all turned out.
I didn't realize he was even there at the show.
Oh, he was there.
So what's he not happy about then?
Well, like I said, it's not that he wasn't happy. He was telling me that there was even more stuff he wanted to include in the show. Interesting facts and anecdotes, and we were so crammed to the gills with great and eerie bits about music. But there's only so much time we have for the live show, you know.
Really? What stuff was left out?
Well, that's why we're here today, James. I know it's customary to release extras, outtakes, and Easter eggs after the show is released, but we thought we would try something a little outside the box. Here, James, this is yours.
What's this?
These are some of the very interesting things we learned or were thinking about while we were researching for our Ear for Music show. Some bits that didn't make it into the final broadcast.
Oh, cool. Where are my glasses?
Glasses? You don't wear glasses.
No, my whiskey glasses. Oh, there they are. Nice and full. Cool. Now, what does this say here? Teenage death songs were all the rage back in the late 50s and early 60s. It really was a curious trend in American music, considering how morbid and ghastly these songs were compared to the much sunnier offerings on the pop charts at the same time. Songs like Mark Dinning's Teen Angel, a teen is run over by an oncoming train. The Shangri-La's 1964 hit, Leader of the Pack, a teen meets his death by a motorcycle wreck. Ebony Eyes by the Everly Brothers, a teen dies in a plane crash. And No Surfing Today by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Teen dies in, yep, you guessed it, Wipeout. But there's one tune in this curious subgenre that seems to have had some real-life consequences for one of its authors. The surf rock duo Jan and Dean had one of their biggest hits in 1964 with their song of a drag race gone horribly wrong in Dead Man's Curve. Jan Barry, the Jan of Jan and Dean, and one of the song's writers, nearly died 2 years later in a car accident on the actual Dead Man's Curve. He suffered from aphasia due to severe head injuries, and while he bravely returned to the stage years later, he was never quite the same after the accident. He passed away in 2004.
Well, this one is not as eerie, but it's very interesting. In the 1960s, a singer with an amazing vocal range named Lou Christie found success and fame with a string of hits such as Two Faces Have I, The Gypsy Cried, She Sold Me Magic, Gonna Make You Mine, and what is probably his best-known tune, Lightning Strikes.
Lightning Strikes. I think I know that one. I'd try to sing it, but my voice can't go that high.
Shocker. Well, yeah, he was noted for his falsetto. Anyhow, here's where the story gets a little more interesting, and it's all due to a talented but mysterious lady named Twyla Herbert. Twyla befriended Lou Christie when he was 15 and she was 35.
Well.
Well, easy now. Twyla was a classically trained musician who ended up becoming Lou Christie's songwriting partner for the next 30 years until her death in 2009.
Well, that's kind of interesting, but I can see why Silben left that bit out, though.
Well, I'm not finished yet, geez. So, this is the most interesting part. Twyla was able to predict which of their songs would be hits, every time. And they wrote hundreds of songs.
Really?
Really. Twyla was quite a character, as you might imagine, with flaming red hair and intense eyes. She claimed to be a bohemian gypsy and mystic with psychic powers. And Lou Christie was loyal to her and worked with her until the very end.
I wish she was still around. I'd ask her to predict which of my performances will be hits.
They're all hits, my darling.
Oh, thank you, Allie. So great. What else do we have here? Ah, February 3rd, 1959, better known as The Day the Music Died. The night that a Beechcraft Bonanza plane carrying the Big Bopper, Ritchie Valens, and Buddy Holly crashed in a cornfield near Clear Lake, Iowa. They were all on tour during a particularly brutal winter, and the buses hired for the tour kept breaking down. Buddy Holly grew frustrated with this situation, and one night decided to charter a plane to take some of the musicians on the tour to their next destination. Buddy Holly's bass player was originally supposed to board the plane, but at the last moment gave up his seat to J.P. Richardson, aka the Big Bopper, because Richardson had come down with a bad case of the flu. Buddy Holly playfully taunted his bass player, "I hope your bus breaks down." "Hope your old plane crashes," quipped the bass player. Of course, we all know what happened. And that bass player was haunted by those words, said in a careless moment, for the rest of his life, even as he later found great fame and fortune on his own as a country superstar. His name? Waylon Jennings.
Wow, I didn't know that one. Okay, here's another item. The Ohio Players' 1975 hit, Love Roller Coaster, funky 70s dance floor hit, or the musical equivalent of a snuff film? Well, for some, the jury is still out, as the urban legend continues to haunt the tune decades later. Between a minute 24 and a minute 28 on the single version of the song, what sounds like a high-pitched scream of terror can be heard somewhat buried in the background, and it's only heard once on the track. Somehow, a rumor got started that the scream was that of a woman being murdered in the studio as the band was recording the song. The rumor was even mentioned by Casey Kasem on his American Top 40 radio show while the song was high on the charts, helping to fuel the speculation. The band at the time would neither confirm nor deny the rumors, and to this day remains in the province of urban legend. But to listen to that scream, well, it still manages to fire up an unpleasant part of the imagination.
Ooh, that's a good one.
There are so many of these kinds of bits that Sylvan collected, we could go on and on. But let's skip ahead a little. Here are some things that Sylvan and our writers Rebecca Graves and Courtney Gillian-Cholovich were inspired by while creating this show, An Ear for Music.
That famous line from Bram Stoker's Dracula. Listen to them, the children of the night. What music they make.
The band on the RMS Titanic bravely playing on till the very end, as the ship sank into the freezing waters of the North Atlantic.
The terrifying original version of the fairy tale, The Pied Piper of Hamelin, where the piper gets revenge on the town for cheating him out of paying up for getting rid of all the town's rats. The original or earliest known ending has the piper leading all the children of the town into a dark cave where they're never seen again. All except three children. One who was deaf and could not hear the piper. One who was blind and could not follow the piper. And one who was lame and could not walk with the piper, and the other doomed children.
And the team listened to some appropriate mood music. Schubert's Death and the Maiden, and Rachmaninoff's Isle of the Dead. Eerie songs such as The Long Black Veil, Season of the Witch, Phantom 309. Film scores by Bernard Herrmann, especially his masterpiece, the soundtrack to Psycho.
From the world of films, we were inspired by musically themed thrillers such as Mad Love with Peter Lorre, in which an insane doctor helps a killer and pianist trade hands. Hitchcock's Man Who Knew Too Much, where a cymbal crash is used in an attempt to cover up a murder. Michael Powell's The Red Shoes, an intense ballet fever dream. The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, an obscure Dr. Seuss film from 1953, is a child's surreal musical nightmare about his piano teacher. The tense scenes in Sergio Leone's Western For a Few Dollars More, where a creepy music box decides the fate of a killer's victims. And of course, we couldn't forget good old Lon Chaney in The Phantom of the Opera. All of these sounds and images, and our memories of them, were stirred into the pot as we brewed this latest offering of desperate dissonance for you, An Ear for Music. The first episode, a vignette called It Takes Real Guts, will be released in 2 weeks. I won't say anything more about it other than it's good fun and has a uniquely creepy premise. And again, we had a great time performing it. I get to play cello in it, sort of.
Again, check our podcast feed 2 weeks from today to listen to our first chilling episode from An Ear for Music. It features James, me, and the rest of our fabulous Fireside Mystery Theater cast. And take note, my friends, there is just one live Fireside Mystery Theater show left for the season, Sunday, May 28th at 7 p.m. at the Slipper Room in New York City. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com. New York City area fans don't miss this chance to catch us live and in the flesh before we wrap for the season.
What's the theme for this last live show?
We call it Some People You Might Know. All new stories featuring characters from past shows.
Oh, really? Which ones?
Only one way to find out, my friend.
Well, there's other amazing news.
Other news?
Well, thanks to you, our lovely podcast audience, we've now had over 1 million downloads as of April.
Oh, how right you are, James. That is exciting news. Our listeners are the best. Did you read some of the latest reviews we got on iTunes?
Sure did. Ratings and reviews on iTunes help to raise our visibility and helps more people discover our show. And it's you listeners who've helped us reach this milestone of over 1 million downloads. For that, we are so grateful.
Absolutely, James. We really do love hearing from you, beloved listeners. Drop us a line at firesidemysterytheater@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And yes, please keep those iTunes reviews coming. It does more than just boost our egos. It actually does help to give the show life and helps us to grow. Dear friends, thank you so much for listening. This is Ali Silva.
And James Reeser.
Wishing all of you nothing but the best.
And?
Sorry?
You know.
Huh?
First word begins with M.
Oh, yes, right. Mind the shadows.
Yeah. Take care now.